I think all of you took to your heart the requests I made to each of you, and we couldn't have thought of a more spectacular panel. So many perspectival views on a single text. I myself have spent 20 years studying one text. It's not the Sri Guru Granth Sahib, it's the Holy Quran, but it is one text. And we really could not have asked for a better concluding event. Thank you again also to the High Pi Commission. We have 10 minutes. You don't have to ask a question, but if you would like to ask a question, now is your time. There is a microphone.
I'm running near to you.
Yeah, just one second. Yeah. There's a microphone. If you could just wait, because we're recording this, so if you could, and if you could just keep your questions short, we can include as many. I saw you first, yes. Sir, then you, sir.
Thank you. This has been a wonderful evening. And my question is to anybody on the panel who wants to address this. You have remarked upon the 10th Guru and the Guru Granth Sahib as points of great social and spiritual reformation. Would you like to also talk about the political aspect of it? I mean, you've talked about the status of women changing, and it's Mai Pago and her role in Chali Mukte, which is an interesting point. But then it carries on to the Panch Pyare, which possibly could be the first representational democratic form of government in the subcontinent, and to the Sarbat Khalsa, which is analogous to a plebiscite. So this idea that you can do away with one central authority and transfer spiritual authority to the text, but temporal authority to the collective.
So the one uniqueness which I see in today's topic regarding the sacred word, the Guru Granth Sahib, that starts from one ikkunkar, and your club starts from one. So that's first thing I wanted to point out. That's what the question is coming to you, Dr. Ranjan Sarkar. This sacred word through your South Asia Center should be go to other communities as well. We are London in London metros, so it's very welcome that the Sikh community and all the Indian and South Asian communities here. But are we having any plans to take this step further? Honorable professors are there; they are also leading the universities. Can we take this sacred word out of our own zone to rest part of the world within London?
I think to some extent you already answered your question very well, but I would just use one word to donate the political message. That is the importance attached to Sangat. That Sangat is the form of the Guru. The collective decision of the Sangat, and that is the democratic spirit. It's not one Guru who takes the decision and everyone accepts it. It is a collective decision of the entire Sangat. And Guru is represented through the Sangat. And that is the democratic political aspiration of the teachings of Guru Granth Sahib.
Panch Pyaras, as you mentioned, this was remarkable contribution of Guru Gobind Singh Ji, lays foundations of democratic principles. Whenever there is an initiation of Khande Dipal, it's always done by Panch Pyaras. Where Panch Pyaras in Gurdwaras dictates, we are obliged to accept the word in the right spirit. You mentioned about Mai Pago. Guru Granth Sahib attributes highest place for women, equality. As has already been said, so kyon manda aakhiye jis jamme rajan, woman gave birth to a man, to rajas, to saint, to Bhagat and warriors in Gurdwaras, we give absolutely full respect to a woman. Gristi Jeevan, the values of family life, is paramount in the Sikh religion. Thank you.
Just to add on, in terms of, I think it's a tragedy that people who've taken Khandadi Pohol seem to think they have acquired the status of Khalsa. And I take them back to the time when Guru Sahib initiated Khandadi Pohol, and he said, Khalsa Pargateo Parmatam Ki Moj. So taking Amrit is probably just the first step in terms of evolving. You know, that Khalsa image, which is godly image, has to be purgated, has to be born from within. And that is the vibrations I was talking on, that those Gurbani has to instill that spirit so that within yourself you feel up to the Khalsa level. And when one has risen to that level, somebody like Guru Gobind Singh actually bows in front of them and says, you know, implant me with your spirit. And Guruji has said, Jab lag Khalsa rahe nyara, tab lag tej diyo mas. Yeah, as long as the Khalsa remains within the spirit of the Khalsa hood, I will support it totally. But when Bipran ki Rita, you know, you've gone astray, you have lost me. The Guru has clearly stated that. So I think the Khalsa or the Sikh community needs to rise up and recognize that aspect. And in recent happenings, for instance, this movement of Sarbat Khalsa, when you already had the Panch Pyare installed at the Akal Takht Sahib, in my view, they are the authority, but they were actually sidestepped, and somehow the rest of the Sikh community has gone and formed up this so-called Sarbat Khalsa. I don't think that is representative of the spirit of Sikhi the way the Guru designed it.
I will answer your question, sir. Is there anyone who wants to ask?
Hi, thank you for that session. It was really enlightening. One quick question to Professor Hegarty. You mentioned the Janam Sakhis, which are the stories recounting the or the accounts recounting the life stories of the gurus. I read recently that the earliest Janam Sakhi or the first Janam Sakhi of Guru Nanak Dev Ji wasn't written until about 120 years after his death. So I was wondering if you could perhaps talk a bit about the limitations of the insights offered by the Janam Sakhis.
Well, I think they represent, they evolve over several centuries. The one that I was discussing is actually an 18th century Janam Sakhi, and the B40 Janam Sakhi actually is an interesting one because it pulls together a variety of different tradition of Janam Sakhi. Some are more philosophical, some have commentary, some don't. I think in terms of their historical accuracy, I think it comes back to really what I opened my discussion with. The goal wasn't absolute historical accuracy, a blow-by-blow account of the details of the life of Guru Nanak Dev Ji. It was to attend to the significance of that life for successive interpretive communities. And I think if you look at the Janam Sakhi literature in detail, what you see is a play of applicability, a constant use of narrative to integrate Sikh teaching with day-to-day experience, with recent historical experience, in fact. So they're an extraordinarily rich resource, both for reconstructing the life of Guru Nanak. I mean, they are, yes, they're later than his life, but they're much closer than we are, but also for tracing the history of how Sikhs have interpreted the life of Guru Nanak, its significance, and integrated that with other ideas and their historical and political experience. And that's why the Kali Yuga is a recurrent symbol of that, because the Kali Yuga is the final and the most debased and the most complex and difficult age, our age. So those kind of the invoking of the Kali Yuga and the personification of the Kali Yuga that we actually find in the Dhammasakhi, the B40, is a very visual and visceral demonstration of that need to integrate and apply Nanak's teaching and those of his successors to the life of the community. I hope that answers your question.
Can I add there? Yes, please do. There is a Janamsakhi, and there are other Pai Balaji Sakhis, and there are many others. I do not wish to comment on those. What I like to emphasize to you and to all and to myself, Guru Granth Sahib utterances, a Guruan de Bol ne, spoken words of Gurus is there. There is no authentic things we are privileged to have. These are Gurus' utterances, Bol Unade. We don't have to be deviated by this, by this, by that. Guru Granth Sahib, Guru's words. Unan de bol bole hoye ne saakhiyat saade samne. Let us read them, understand them, and let these guiding principles be the path of our life. Saade zindagi da e raah ban. Thank you.
We'll take one last question, sir, from you. If you just wait for the microphone.
Thank you very much. First of all, my apologies for coming late. I'm going to speak in Hindi, right? Because it's my comments, yeah? I'm not questioning. I was going into the Gurudwaras when I was young. And jab aapne bola ke ye jo Guru Granth hai, usme se ek bhi shabd le le, wo likha hua hai. वो लिखा हुआ नहीं है वो वाणी है भगवान की जो भी है लेकिन उसमें से एक शब्द ले ले तो जीवन का कल्याण हो जाएगा बट हियर वी इन दिस कलयुग में लॉट ऑफ थिंग्स हैपनिंग जो नहीं हो रहा है उस वक्त भी ये था लेकिन अभी ये उसमें से ह्यूमिनिटी है प्यार है मोहब्बत है एकता है काफ़ी चीज़ है लेकिन हम सब अपने संसार में पड़े हुए हैं लेकिन भगवान तो एक ही है गॉड इज़ वन उसमें से अगर हम मिल जाए एक हो जाए It will be very better for us, unity and love. And we are all one, whatever your God is, but it's one. And Bhagwan, I went to the Gurudwara, it says, Mere char darwaza khula hai, Guru Nanak ji ne. When I went in Africa, mein itne samjhani thi, hum jaate the. Like, idhar aake satsang suna. So if you go in the Gurudwara, if you pick even one word, that will benefit to you. So I went one day in Gurudwara and said, Mere char darwaza khula hai, jo bhi insaan ho, mere darwaza mein aaye, uska kalyan hoga. I'm sorry, thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Meena Dhanda, and I actually will introduce myself as Mrs. Pritam Singh. That's the capacity I'm here today as. And I just want to say, so that it doesn't become an event where no woman spoke. I thought I will say something. Okay, I wasn't going to, but I had planned not to. I had planned to remain silent and just listen. But I think it's hugely, hugely important that we self-critically reflect on where we are with respect to everything that has been said today. All of the speakers have raised really important reminders, given us really important reminders of what is the message of Sikhi. And I don't think any one of us should leave this room before for a second sitting down and questioning ourselves, how close are we to what the values here have been enumerated? And how far are we from that? Huh? I feel you don't need to look very far. I mean, my land, Punjab, where I was born and brought up and lived for 28 years, has probably the worst male-female ratio in the country. Maybe only matched by Haryana, okay? Our ex, my brothers and sisters, whatever you want to call it. How did it come to pass that in a land where every day in every Gurdwara we are reminded of the virtue of equality, how did it come to pass that we are in such a hopeless position? Why has it happened? So what happened? So I think we ought to feel extremely guilty, all of us, that we have utterly betrayed the message of Sikhi, which has been repeated today. Not just on the question of gender. I mean, I have been working on the question of caste, and I don't want to raise it here. I was supposed to, but I will not. And I think we really, really need to scrutinize ourselves and see the daily ways in which we betray that message, whether it's caste, race, gender. And Preetam has very rightly mentioned the whole question of accumulation. Punjab is an amazing example of how people completely become devoid of any virtue whatsoever when it comes to the pursuit of money and wealth and accumulation. They will kill their own brothers, fathers, mothers, sisters, anybody for the sake of wealth. I mean, that kind of naked pursuit of wealth is an example of Punjab. I'm not proud, I'm absolutely proud to be Punjabi. Main Punjabi ch gal vi kar sakdi, main bol vi sakdi, likh pad sakdi, main hun je hunda ta main bol vi lendi. Par mainu is gal di badi sharam aundi hai, ki as Punjabis, we have betrayed such a magnificent message and teachings that we have had for hundreds of years. We were so lucky, and yet we were not unlucky people like in other parts of the country who were taught to believe in inequality. We weren't taught to believe in inequality. We were taught to believe in equality, and yet, where are we?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, sir. I'm sorry we were not there to welcome you, but we had to start. I'm really sorry, despite so much of excitement and so much of emotion, we have to draw this to a close.
Can I mention one word?
Please do.
One word, please. This kind lady has beautifully expressed her emotions, and I respect her. Just want to comfort you. Although we human beings are created by God, God has also created Maya, the one Professor Saab was mentioning. Maya is illusion. Maya is stronger than us, is more powerful than us. Maya job is to deviate us from the good karmas, from good deeds. Gurbani is the only way forward. By learning this, by understanding this, we can overcome by Maya. Otherwise, we are going down.
I think I now have to speak because I really been listening. And my name is Dr. Rami Ranger. I've been listening, I've been enjoying. Each one of them made a very important contribution, and my contribution is this. Our gurus gave us a value system. The value system they gave has brought respect to them. We are respecting our gurus now after a few centuries, what they left. This is a small country, Great Britain. It ruled the world because of its value system. Today we are in this country, it has a value system. Tolerance, respect for women, respect for religion. There are laws against discrimination. This is the value system. They stopped discrimination. As long as we followed the teaching of our gurus, we are respected. But some of our fellow Sikhs, I hasten to add, there are only a few handful. They have become greater visionary than the gurus themselves. They have started their own value system. And for that reason, we are facing difficulty in Punjab. You remember the Blue Star Operation? You remember the massacre of 84? You remember the drug epidemic? You remember the female fetishism? All this is happening because we have lost our connection with our gurus, who gave us direction. And I will urge all of you people, please stay true to your gurus and stay away from those people who would like to contradict our gurus, contradict their vision. Our gurus were gurus for India and beyond, but there are a handful of them who would like to reduce them to Guru of Punjab. So therefore, please be very careful. Those people who think they were great, they are greater visionary than gurus, are in fact bringing us this what you just mentioned. Thank you.
I'm afraid we really have to draw it to a close now, but thank you much. Meena, thank you very much for your input as well. What I wanted to say in conclusion was this, and this in part answers your question. The remainder I will answer outside because we are in a rush. There was a lot of thought that went into choosing these four words, understanding the sacred word. As I said to you earlier, I myself study a sacred text. And the idea behind not using the name of the text, but to say sacred word, was to underline and emphasize the fact that sacrality is a felt perception amongst humans. And all of you in different ways, and our distinguished speakers, have spoken about degrees and paths through which we can subscribe to that sacrality. Okay? The four speakers were chosen after a lot of consideration, and I'm not going to go over it again, but I'm sure it was obvious to all of you that everyone actually approached it from their perspectives. And I think it was splendid. It was absolutely awesome. In two more things, because I would like the others to hear it as well. This event was publicized. All LSE events are public events. We don't charge money for people to attend. That is not the idea. It only happens that we have this distinguished audience and not a wider or more cosmopolitan audience, if that is what you were asking or referring to. That is not by design. That is simply the outcome. It is an indication of interest. It is an indication of this society. But one tangible outcome of this will be that we will bring out a publication. This recording will actually go up on our website very soon. What are we going to do with this going forward? At the moment, nothing. Now, the reason I say at the moment nothing with such a clear voice is that it is also the first time that we have been able to put this together. And you will agree that just logistically, there is, you know, James has had to come from Cardiff, and Professor Bedi has had to keep his taxi waiting. There are sort of logistical arrangements to be put in place. Preetham has come from Oxford. Meena has come from Wolverhampton, and there are others who've come from elsewhere. So there's a logistical side to it. What we do want to do is to, I'll take only half a minute to say that the South Asia Center has three missions. One is to be involved in capacity building. The second is to do events. But the third, which is LSE's wider policy, is to actually impact the public through informed knowledge. And when we put together, you know, it takes a fair amount of courage to put together a multi-perspectival panel where everyone is going to agree to speak on a sacred text. It's a text we all consider sacred, whether we are believers or subscribers or not. But it has worked brilliantly for us. So we hope that independent of the High Commission, the South Asia Center will do more. With the High Commission, the South Asia Center will do more. And to answer your question very directly, no, we were not only trying to limit this to the community. We are very glad that so many people have come. There have been so many questions. And our objective has been achieved. But our objective has not ended. Okay? It is my very pleasant duty now to thank the speakers once again, Mr. Prabhsyan, Professor James Hegarty, Professor Preetham Singh, Professor M.P.S. Bedi. Thank you very much, all of you, sirs, for actually delivering on my very, very strict instructions. Irrespective of your age, I have sent very clear emails to all of you. I know because I wrote those emails. And I also wanted to say that the publication will become available sometime in August. It is going to be free. It will be available as a PDF on our website to download. It will include more information on other celebrations that have been done across Britain. But we hope that in the new year, we are getting into exam season.